The New York Film Festival, which ended last weekend, was a miracle that it happened at all. The 58th festival, since its founding in 1962, faced challenges the previous 57 never did. Like Toronto last month, it scrambled to go virtual. The good news is it turned up some quality films among its 50-film lineup that will make their way to you on your home screen, and possibly to theater someday. Like everyone else, our film critic Harlan Jacobson was not on the scene, but here's what he has to say anyway, thanks to the festival stream.
What I liked about the films this year at the 58th New York Film Festival is that many characters and stories were struggling toward the new world, new places, new ways of being. That's actually often true, but this year, 2020, you could more than see it with perfect vision. The films had an emotional resonance with how personal struggle was rooted in a world that still moved about its own streets, even if uneasily. It all felt round, but full of costs paid to be here. Highlights included I Carry You With Me, a Mexican film about Yvonne, a middle-aged gay chef and restaurant owner in New York, and the life cost he paid to leave his family at 20-something in Puebla, southeast of Mexico City. There's no future in Puebla. Yvonne runs out of space and, like many an immigrant to New York, crosses over both personal and the geographic Rio Grande to move himself forward. That's what he tells his lover, Gerardo, the son of a landed cattle rancher he initially leaves behind, and himself. It's beautifully shot with urgency and color and acted by Armando Espicia as Yvonne and Christian Vasquez as Gerardo. I wasn't put off by its late revelation that it sprang from a true story. It's the emotional template created by director Heidi Ewing and her script collaboration with Alan Page, who wrote Babel some years back. Sony Pictures Classics will release soon. I mostly liked the three chapters of Steve McQueen's British series Small Acts about West Indian life at different time periods in London. They are quiet stories that continually tease you, poke you with the hint of explosions awaiting the beleaguered black population. McQueen paves the way for privileged entry into an alien world where many of us could never go. Watching his characters in the Small Acts trilogy is like spying through a scope at the hunted as they move across the grounds of the hunter. Look for Small Acts soon on Amazon. William Klein's 1974 doc, Muhammad Ali, the Greatest, while an interesting restoration at the festival, does not hold up to Leon Gast's 1996 doc When We Were Kings, when Ali took down George Foreman in the rope-a-dope rumble in the jungle. Both docs wonderfully establish Ali's transformation from a stripling with a mouth on him to a legend. But the preceding 27-minute short, Meeting the Man, James Baldwin, filmed in 1971 in Paris and just restored, sets off neurons you don't normally use. This is in part because Baldwin is fascinating, seductive, elusive, shaming, and always a pain in the ass to pin down. Director Terrence Dixon, a well-meaning young Brit acolyte some 50 years ago, hung on for dear life in Baldwin's slippery presence, but in the end, got the native son to say a bit more about who he is or was by saying who he wasn't. I saw David Byrne's American Utopia live on Broadway, where it lived until the pandemic. Now both the Toronto Film Festival and the New York brought Spike Lee's film of a live performance for HBO to a big screen in New York on the Army Terminal Pier in Brooklyn. It won't reopen live, by the way, on Broadway until September 21st, 2021. There is no opening up beyond the stage, but Lee and his DP, Ellen Kuras, used the camera as a pool cue to take shots from all sides, swooping in, around, and behind, even overhead to capture the joyful noise. Byrne has always played with, satirized, and celebrated the art of the pose and the poses people strike. Once in a lifetime, the Gen X anthem is held back until the midpoint.
And you may find yourself shotgun shack, and you may find yourself in another part of the world, and you may find yourself behind the wheel of a large automobile, and you may find yourself in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife, and you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
Letting the days go by.
In American Utopia, Byrne has affirmed city culture and its inherent inclusiveness. There's one of everything in his troupe, all dressed in gray suits, in bare feet, like a dancing graveyard, given light and color by the magnificent light techies. It's not just for us here. Byrne sends a lighthouse signal to all those who feel they don't quite fit where they are. So come on down to the Great White Way, the lights of Broadway, and the next New York Film Festival. Normally, French Exit by Azazel Jacobs, the closing night of the virtual film festival, is the sort of city culture film that rubs my fur the wrong way. Cute, 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 cute. A drop-down from Woody Allen into the ranks of Noah Baumbach and the much more likable Greta Gerwig. French Exit is a mother-son story with notes of Harold and Maude in it. Michelle Pfeiffer is both a carefree and careless heiress who rolls up in her Rolls to pick up her son, played by Lucas Hedges, from his suffocating prep school where her ex has stashed him. The pair decamp to Paris as their stack of cash is reduced to zero in an extravagant blowout. I loved both Pfeiffer and Hedges. I liked the script, which is a lot of wink-wink by Patrick DeWitt, as was the score by Nick DeWitt. It's like distrusting the sincerity of marzipan your whole life, only to bite into a particularly good piece of bourbon vanilla. Go figure. Sony Pictures Classics will release again somehow February 21st. And I'm Harlan Jacobson.